This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Thank you guys for being out here hanging out with us. We got to give a big shout out to Liz Turner. She came up here, Mike. She listens to us every day. She's a sweetheart. Big Falcons fan. And we just had that whole Falcons conversation.
Long-suffering Falcons fan.
No doubt about it. But Liz, thank you for coming out. We appreciate you. She lives up this way. And she was like, I listen every day. And she is from the, you know, Atlanta. She's a Georgian and certainly has experienced the ups and downs of all of our sports teams. So were just talking about that.
And she said it, and we talked about it. That's why it's funny because, you know, maybe, I don't know, Carl, maybe the younger generation just doesn't take these losses as hard as a salty Falcon veterans. But, yeah, it just kind of jams me up on a Monday. You leave the stadium, and as I said, especially where I sit, you know, you either take the escalator or you're walking down the stairs on the visitor side, and everybody's just, you know, grumbling, and some things, words you can't say on the radio. And it just takes the wind out of your sails. We weren't expecting perfection week one, but just the manner in which they lost is just bust your butt. Now, come back and win, we'll be on top of the world, and now we're 1-1 of the conference, and we'll talk about, you know, hopefully Michael Penix Jr. getting a big road win on national TV Sunday night. But one of the things you and I talked about real quick before we get to the injuries, I mentioned this to you yesterday, and Brian McFadden brought it up. If the Bears see that game through, McCarthy's got more questions than answers. Now he's buoyed by that way he handled his business. So all of a sudden he's feeling like, hey, Carl, I'm ready to go. My first game, I got to win in my hometown.
Well, the bigger thing that he was able to overcome was the pick six.
Right.
Most times,
most rookies,
they fall apart. I mean, like in a game that way. And remember, he was back home. He's from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So he had all his people in the stands, and he throws that pick six, and most people deflate. He found a way to lift his team up. So I just feel like the part of this discussion on Sunday night is going to be obviously our offense and the injury stuff that we'll talk about. But it's also going to be defensively. Forget pressure rate. Let's get hits and sacks. And try to really affect J.J. McCarthy the way we need to. You want to make him uncomfortable, Mike? You want to get a pick six, Jesse Bates, Xavier Watts? That is how we need to do it. And while we're speaking about our safeties, by the way, our buddy Rodney Harrison. What's up, Rodney? He lives in the A, for those who don't know, listens all the time. He was talking about this, and I'm going to let you hear what he said about the safeties. If anybody knows about playing safety, it's Rodney.
He's the main.
Super Bowl champion. But he had some interesting things to say about our starting safeties. We'll let you hear that in just a second. Mike, I don't start rumors. You know my saying. I talk about them once they're out.
Right.
I do not know if Parker Romo will be our kicker Sunday night, but I have a feeling. Now, he's competing, all right, as we speak. Literally, we said, Raw yesterday, we talked to Raheem Morris. He said this could go to the end of the week. But I feel like, Mike, again, I am in a position, just me. I don't know how you fans feel. I don't trust the guy right now.
I don't trust Ku as far as I can throw him.
I don't trust him.
No, I don't.
And if you don't trust him, you don't take him to Minnesota. You're not cutting him. You're not releasing him. You're just simply saying, this is the guy this week, okay?
But can you do that? Don't you just, like what do the 49ers do? Say, well, adios, amigo?
You could, but I don't know if we're at that point where you feel like you need to do that. This is still a test run. If Parker Romo is the kicker on Sunday night, let's say he goes 3-for-3, and God, I hope he does, if he's the kicker or if it's Koo. But if you don't trust somebody, you just don't put him on the plane and go. So Romo, I think, is more than a 50% chance. We will see how this shakes out. Again, I told you guys yesterday up at the branch, if it is Koo, don't be surprised. But that's where I'm leaning. I want you to hear what Parker Romo said today because he spoke to the guys up there at Flowery Branch. And a couple of things that he was talking about, one of them has to do with competing for the job with his teammate. And, you know, look, when you're a kicker, this is just part of it. You show up in these situations. It's whoever kicks best, whoever puts the ball through the uprights. Here's Parker Romo talking about competing for the job. We'll let you hear that in just a second. It's Parker Tukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Because he talked a lot today, right, talking about it's a dream to kick for any NFL team, but he gets a chance to do it in his hometown. And also, he was talking about being comfortable in this situation, which I think is a big help for him.
He bounced around a couple of colleges, did play at, Central Arkansas, Tulsa, Virginia Tech, kind of a free agent in college, too. But we talked about in the XFL, played for San Antonio. He made their version of like an all-pro team. Did kick for Minnesota, guys, last winter. He got in the game against Jacksonville, was 4-for-4, and then their old kicker came back. He was released. So he's been around. He's bounced around the league. Don't know. I don't know John Parker, other than his cool name, John Parker Romo. Don't know Jack. We did have the 49ers, Eddie Pinero. We had contacted him. He wound up going to San Fran. Said it was a better option because they obviously don't have a kicker because they cut Moody because he was so bad against Seattle. It's just a tough place to be in. In a perfect world, Koo regains his form. But who trusts – you just said, who trusts him? Hand it real quick, unscientific poll here at the bar. Who trusts Younghoe Koo right now? Hands up. Who trusts Tinker, that's a, giving me the finger. That's not giving me a side on Younghoe Koo. So basically confidence is down, and this goes back to the organization. I said it all week, Carl. I'll say it one last time. Shouldn't have let it come to this. Should have had a better option for Falcon fans before we got into week one.
Tuesday, as I tweeted today, I put him up, see Dukes, follow Mike at Mike Bell ETL. Tuesday they brought in, or there were six guys up there, and that's a lot. But that's part of this, right, is figuring out.
We got names on these other dudes?
Absolutely. Release watch is on.
Michael Bagley, Zane Gonzalez, Matthew Trudeau. These are all guys that were vying to be on the practice squad. Okay. Parker Romo was another guy.
So it's like
guy.
Hunger Games? Everybody just jumps in.
Well, look, I said this earlier in the week. That's what I wanted. Right. Hunger Games style competition. Let's figure this out and move forward. But it gave the Falcons plenty of options. And so these six kickers came in. Parker Romo was the guy they ended up signing on the practice squad. Big O, I was talking about Romo talking to the media today, and I want to get back to this because he said a couple of interesting things. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys, as we talk about Falcons and Vikings on Sunday. And we'll dive into the injury stuff, but I want you guys to hear this because he could be our guy Sunday. And if he is, we're rooting for him to be the best Parker Romo, sounding like coach now, that he can possibly be. Here he is talking about competing for the job. He was talking about competing for the job, Big O.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when you're just around the facility just to be friends with each other. And then when we go out on the field, like, we got to do our job. So kind of work hard, play hard mentality.
Yeah, I mean, like it's not like Parker Romo pulled up in the parking lot and was like, it's my house.
Maybe you're not familiar with me. I'm John Parker Romo, yeah. McIntosh High School, from the mean streets of PTC.
Where's Koo? Park my car.
That's Petrie City,
by the way. He didn't do that.
You don't know what it's like on a golf cart with only three wheels, Joe.
Parker Romo was talking about how comfortable being uncomfortable. This is interesting because we hear kickers talk about this stuff. Being on his sixth team in 4 years. Mike, you just pointed this out.
He's a journeyman.
Here's Parker Romo talking about the comfortability.
This is year four for me, team number six, and so I've just kind of gotten used to be comfortable being uncomfortable. So that kind of thing kind of helps me, and yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to the Romo family. This is not optimal. You know, you said it. Every game in the NFL, certainly almost every game the Falcons play in one way or the other, is a one-possession game.
Yeah, it is.
We got to monkey around with this again. This goes back. I can't wait to talk to Terry Fontenot. Don't know when that's going to happen. But the general manager did not provide his coaching staff with a viable option other than Younghoe Koo this preseason. That's my beef. You know, I know I'm going to belabor it, but Lenny Krieg was just – a German kicker. It's a PR stunt. That's not a real option.
Well, what it did,
he's not even included in this competition.
Yes, but what it did, and I'd ask you every day, not every day,
right?
Once we got to the end, and you kept saying to me, like, don't you feel like
Kuz healthier?
Kuz won the job. It was an illusion.
Right.
It provided the illusion of there's competition, but it's really not, which made us feel comfortable in watching it. And every day I'm going 4 for 5, 3 for 5. I'm watching him kick the ball up there, and then I kept telling you guys, cool, I got my eye on you. Do not screw these kicks up. And in preseason, it was almost as if,
but then
I'll go out, I'll kick, I'll miss one, no big deal, it's preseason. And everybody was like, it's preseason, Dukes don't care about that. Then we get into the first game.
True, I'm watching you.
And it plays out the way it did. So the illusion was we have competition. The reality was
there was no competition. And that's on Terry Fontenot. That's on the organization. So when you get into like Falcon fans, like go same old Falcons, well, that would fall into the category of same old Falcons. Because that's people not doing your freaking job. Here's a guy that cost us the Saints game, the Chargers game. Oh, yeah, granted, Kirk Cousins has something to say about those games.
Interceptions.
Yeah. But you need that to be a constant. The kicker should not be. Look at John Lynch and Shanahan out in San Francisco. Moody, you're done. We saw this last year happen again. Start the season in Seattle, gone. I said this the other day. And we asked Coach. He said he was disappointed. But I would have fired him when he didn't talk to the media. You shirk your responsibility to – you got to speak to the media.
Yeah.
When you're making game-winning kicks and when you're blowing kicks, either way, that's got to improve, as does our pass rush. The edge rush finish rate, Carl, you and I spent a lot of time on this today.
Pressure rate.
Do you feel that we are going to get home against J.J. McCarthy? Because I don't want to hear about finish rate, pass rush, win rate. I want to hear about sacks. I want to hear about us getting J.J. McCarthy on the ground three. I need three sacks.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
And I need if the rookies, it's too much for these guys to work on their technique, then you drafted the wrong guys. Leonard Floyd gets get home. Somebody get home.
Somebody's got to get home. Look, I will tell you we'll get pressure. I cannot tell you we're going to get sacks. We got pressure on Baker. Mike, hell, we had Baker in our arms.
That's on Caden Ellis. That's a veteran. Let him wriggle out of the sack.
And we didn't get him to the ground. So, yeah, we'll get pressure. I don't know about sacks. Boy, I hope we do. 404-726-0929. Wanted to start there, guys, because this is the first time we'd heard from Parker Romo. They made him available today. I think it's more than a 50% chance he might be the guy that's on the plane come Saturday.
Like,
I just
Watergate,
feel that
is
way.
Is Deep Falcon giving you some insight
Not
on
at
this?
All. Not all right, at man. All. Look, I could be wrong on this. And, again, if it's cool, fine. But God forbid if he blows a kick. I'm telling you, this city's going to explode because we're already on edge saying, dude, we're in these games. Our quarterback's playing his butt off. We're in these games. I just need you to do your job.
Well, I mean, as we said, you heard the audio. Koo doesn't talk to the media. Then when he does talk to the media, well, on that turf, that still irks me. What do you mean that turf? The turf that made you a Pro Bowler a couple years, now it's a mystery for you to figure out? I mean, I didn't realize Koo's out there kicking through fescue at Eastlake. Okay, I mean it's
the second cut.
Yeah, it's field turf, man. I mean, come on, it's like, you know, there's your doormat at home. Kick off of that. I don't want to hear it.
Hey, man, coming up, Mike Griffin's going to join us. Dogs got a big one Saturday against the Vols. We had some questions. Can they overcome these slow starts they've had last week? That was a debacle. Austin Peay should have been a blowout, and it felt like it was a game that like what is going on. It cannot be that way in Knoxville on Saturday. We're going to talk to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk dogs, guys. Our buddy Mike Griffith is here from Dog Nation. And Mike, we know it's a big week. I think the first thing I want to get from you is, what happened last week with this game with Austin Peay? It was disjointed. But then also, can Georgia overcome a slow start against the Vols? Because you can't come out and have that start on Saturday against Tennessee.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Kirby kind of turned that into a glorified scrimmage. I mean, we know we know Mike Bobo and that offense wasn't doing a lot with motions or shifts or really doing anything to try to free some things up or create anything. And they sure didn't want to, you know, do anything dangerous to turn the ball over. I mean, ball security is kind of at a premium for Gunner. That's what he offers you, right? This is why you've got him there. He's supposed to be the stable guy that doesn't turn it over, that keeps you out of bad situations. And so far, you know, he hasn't thrown an interception, and he hasn't taken a sack. So not a lot of explosive plays, but a very careful, efficient offense. I think you're going to see that change largely because of the way I think Tennessee will play him. I don't think Tennessee's going to be playing three deep. I think they're going to come up closer to the line and try to force Georgia to punt so they get their offense on the field.
Well, with Ricky Gibson out with the injury and McCoy still got an ACL, we were talking about yesterday, Mike, their secondary is banged up. So if you can, you know, I don't know how Bobo goes about it, whether establishing the run and going play action, but shouldn't this be where Zach Branch and Noah Thomas and to a lesser extent Dylan Bell and those guys, they tee off? And then we get back to we were mussing and fussing over two meaningless games, and now Georgia's offense goes vertical in Knoxville.
Well, you know, theoretically, but, you know, you've got to be able to run the ball effectively to set up those play-action plays. I'm just not sure that Gunnar Stockton's going to sit back there in the shotgun and pick anybody apart in Dan Marino fashion. I think that's why Kirby wants to get that run game established and, get that defense in compromised situations where they're in run-pass conflict. And as long as you're on schedule and you're dealing with second and five and third and two and third and three, it's hard to predict what you're going to do. And so that's why the balance is so important and why Kirby's hammered that point home. Now, you mentioned the injuries in the Tennessee secondary, but I don't think those guys have played. So they got a couple guys back there that have played a couple games. And, you know, if you want to talk about injuries, Georgia's offensive line's got a couple guys out. So to me, I think that's going to be really important if Ernest Green in particular plays at right tackle.
We're talking with Mike Griffith, guys. Dog Nation, follow him. Dogs, Vols up in Knoxville. It is a 3.5-point game as Georgia heads up there. As we talk about the defense, the one thing that Kirby's been able to do in these matchups and why he's dominated Josh Heupel up to this point, Kirby's made the adjustments defensively. And Mike, what is that adjustment in this game? The one thing, like every year Kirby goes, you know, they're explosive and they throw the ball, but they run the ball, and people don't look at Tennessee that way. And then Georgia takes the run away. Is it similar this season?
A little bit. I would say this, though. I think some of Tennessee's rushing statistics are a little misleading. A lot of times you think about how Tennessee's gotten big lead on teams, and maybe you're able to run the ball when you're leading. I'm not sure I'm really convinced that Tennessee does a great job dictating the run. I don't think about them running over Georgia. I know Sampson had 100 yards last year, but I think Georgia's done a pretty good job of taking that run away and dictating, keeping them in down and distance situations where the defense has been able to load up a little bit and put pressure on them. And I think that's been pretty important. So I think more than anything else, I think Georgia's going to have to keep that run game in check so that they can keep Tennessee in down and distance situations where they can get an edge rush and produce some turnovers. You know, a second ago I was talking about Gunnar Stockton not turning the ball over. I didn't know this stat. This will blow you away. Georgia has not thrown an interception against Tennessee since 2017. I believe that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for the
jinx. Don't turn it over. Kirby, yeah, they play clean.
That's right.
Right. And as we said, man, it's kind of like the reversal of when – Philip Fulmer was running roughshod over, you know, Ray Goff and Jim Donnan, and then eventually Rick got things turned around. It's going the other way. Talking with Mike Griffith, the guys from Dog Nation. We'll be up at Twin Peaks, guys, exit 1. That's the store in East Ridge, Tennessee, if you're heading up to Knoxville. Dukes and Bell are not nationwide, Carl, statewide.
Statewide.
Join the party, pal. As far as, you know, that line, Mike, as you just kind of touched on, it's the weird game, the lightning delay. But, I mean, it's still an inferior opponent that you're struggling moving the football against. So do you think that the offensive line, I mean, it's always the center point, but is that going to be the key? Georgia, do they have the offensive line? And Stacey Searles, did he get enough depth for guys to be able to push the line, especially when you get to the elite competition? Now you're in SEC play.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. I think that's going to be the key to the game. I mean, they're going to have to get a little bit of a push. And, you know, say this, and it sounds like such an excuse, but I believe this, and I've seen this happen. But sometimes when you play these FCS schools and they've got smaller defensive linemen, the trade-off is those guys are kind of quick, and they're able to get in the gaps. And if you're not doing a lot to get those guys out of their gaps with motions and shifts, it can be kind of tough. And I'm not so sure that, you know, Kirby really wanted to have a ton of success. It was almost like he wanted to create some adversity. Like I said, he wanted that scrimmage situation. He didn't want the blowout. Two completely different philosophies. Obviously, right. Tennessee wants to score, you know, well, go figure. You know, Josh Heupel's, you know, former national championship quarterback, Heisman Trophy runner-up, and, you know, Kirby, the defensive coach, former All-SEC safety, team captain at Georgia. You know, he wants to play to his defensive strengths, and I kind of feel like that's what he wants to do Saturday. He wants to make sure they don't turn the ball over, keep good field position, make Tennessee drive the length of the field. You know, I think it was just a few years ago in the 38-10. Matter of fact, last time Georgia was up there in Neyland Stadium, I want to say Tennessee might have crossed midfield 5 times, but they only got 10 points. And that's the gamble Kirby takes. He says, you know, I don't think they can drive the length of the field. He thinks Georgia can turn them over. He thinks that Georgia can make those fourth down stops. And until Tennessee forces him out of his comfort zone, I think this offense is going to plod a little bit and be conservative and work more on being efficient and hope for the explosive play. Hope that Zachariah Branch can shake somebody in the open field, or that Dwight Phillips Jr., you know, shows off that elite speed on the perimeter.
Mike, what's up with the tight end room? Dogs did not have a tight end record a catch in Saturday's game.
What's up with that?
Scrimmage or not. I mean, I don't care what kind of environment you're trying to create. First time in 4 years. What's up with this group?
I mean, Kirby's got them grounded. You know, every time we talk to him about it, he keeps saying, I don't see anybody break a tackle. I mean, he's telling us that, look, you guys want the ball. You got to do something with the ball in your hands. And he says he hasn't seen a tight end break a tackle this year. Now, I did ask him about not having a catch, and I think that was the first time since the 2021 Arkansas game that Georgia didn't have a tight end make a catch in the game. But he said, no, there were times that the tight end was the primary target. So, you know, whether Gunner just got through the progression and didn't like what he saw, or the ball didn't get delivered where it was supposed to. So it's not like it wasn't called, but it is a departure from what we expected, and certainly a departure from when you had Brock Bowers. So we'll see if Lawson Lucky can get it going. You know, Jaden Riddell's the guy they've kind of kept quiet. You wonder if maybe this is one of the cards up Kirby's sleeve. We know what he can do. We saw him in the spring game. You know, Josh Heupel, he's got to be pulling his hair out. He's looking at this film of Marshall and Austin Peay, and he's shaking his head. And he's telling his coaches, guys, they're not this bad. They're not going to be this bad. He's got more than this.
Right. I agree. Well, that's what we said. We said it, I think, on Monday's show. This is going to be the greatest sandbagging job in Kirby's coaching career, and they're going to blow it up. Real quick, Mike, the most important stuff, the numbles. Georgia now a 4.5-point favorite. And I got a feeling, I know if the things work that we were talking about work, the over is the play. But right now, you look at the over-under, it's at 49.5. And I just wonder, is the under the play in this game? Because it's hard to see over the first couple of weeks this offense doing the things we want it to do. Yeah. Or is it a sucker bet and they cover this over easy in the third quarter?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd stay so far away from this game, but I'm with you. It almost looks too easy, doesn't it? You know, what do these guys know that we don't know? And sometimes these games, they go completely off script. You know, maybe special teams, maybe turnovers, maybe a blowout, maybe a team jumps out to a big lead early and the other team comes back. And, you would hope Georgia's the team out front because the offense has not shown that they can be very explosive. And by the way, Tennessee has scored first in the last five meetings, believe it or not. So, and yet and still Georgia's still won every game by double digits. You know, Kirby's got a comfort zone here. You know he's still pissed off that he never beat Tennessee as a player. It bothers him. It just does. You just know it does. He's angry. He got asked about, hey, what about that interception you had against Peyton May? I don't want to. We lost. That's all he did. We lost. That's not a good memory. But as a coach in SEC coaching gear, you know, the guy's what, 16-0? I mean, 8-0 at Tennessee. He's 8-1 against Tennessee as a coach. And at Alabama, I think he was 8-0 as Saban's assistant there. So, and then he's never lost in Neyland Stadium as a coach, either at Alabama or Georgia. I think he's 8-0. That's the 8-0 stat. So, you know, Kirby's got a comfort zone for Tennessee. I think he gets his guys fired up. And I think it's going to be a completely different environment because, yeah, Georgia played at Sanford Stadium. But Marshall's Marshall, and there were several thousand students missing, and then the lightning delay just sucked the life right out of that crowd. I mean, there was nobody there after that delay. So now they're going to come out of a tunnel in front of 102,000 people on Saturday, and that place is going to be raucous. I think that the adrenaline will go up, and we'll find out a lot more about what this Georgia team really is.
Mike Griffith, great job as always, breaking it down for us. We know you'll be up there, and we look forward to watching and seeing how this plays out and being up there as well. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Mike, thanks so much.
Can't wait, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
You got it. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. Over-under is 49.5.
You think over.
27-24. I mean, puts you over easy. I mean, doesn't that seem easy? That sounds easy. Weather's going to be right. Not like you have to worry about rain or anything.
But he's right. Tennessee scores. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. And then because Georgia has the better coach, they adjust.
Right.
And in the second half, Tennessee doesn't do anything offensively, and all of a sudden they've scored 13 points.
Right, and it's 49-30.
16 points.
Right.
And you're going, they're averaging 38 a game. What's going on? That's Georgia. That's Kirby. We'll see what happens. I am intrigued. And by the way, Vegas is more right than they are wrong on these things.
Yeah, Georgia's up to 4.5. So the number is getting a little more money on Georgia right now. We'll talk about this. You know, we'll do picks tomorrow.
All right.
Unless you got a feeling about tonight's game.
I do, but I'm
Commanders and the Packers.
I'm afraid, but you know what? If it was just money line, I'd tell you it's all Packers. But if we're picking the spread, you know what? Screw it. Put me down for the Packers 3.5.
Hey, I got you.
I knew I was going to get you
because Matt LaFleur.
Put me down for the Packers.
Matt LaFleur humiliated Dan Quinn's Cowboys defense.
Put me
in
down.
The playoffs 2 years ago.
I'm going to get back on the right track tonight.
Carl, you do not have to fold to peer pressure.
No. I'm on the right track tonight.
Yeah.
I'm getting back on the right track. Put me down, Day-Day.
Get those Packers in there. What's that number? 4.5?
It's 3.5.
Let me double check that.
Let's okay, it's 3.5. Right. Would you stop trying to run the numbers up?
Well, let's double check before we go to broadcast.
We're coming back. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe and Coming. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're having a good time here.
Yes, this is a good time. By the way,
it's a fun time at Buffalo's Cafe.
I just got something pointed out to me by one of the guys at the bar.
Wow.
I live halfway to Alabama. I'm down in Peachtree City. Why the hell did I get a hotel room up here tonight?
What are these folks drinking up here? You need
we're
one.
We're going to Chattanooga, for crying out loud. I just realized this is a poor planning. This is bad logistics.
My voice sounds like this because we were celebrating somebody's birthday up here.
You bet it is. And kids, for the kids at home, real men don't need limes. I know why. We've got that podcast streaming show prep meeting, which you'll see tomorrow
That's
at 11:15 on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and whatever the hell else we're on. You all right? You the Heineken?
No, I'm fine. I'm doing great over here.
All right, man.
Hey, man, we got to talk about something Rodney Harrison said about our safeties. Xavier Watts played really well last week. Billy Bowman, to me, they were the two best rookies on the field last week. At just generally speaking, as a whole, their performance, being in position to make plays, I feel really confident about both of those guys. And then you add Jesse to that. Obviously, the back half of our defense looks really good. But Rodney Harrison, Super Bowl champion, guys, and you watch him on NBC Sunday night. He'll be there Sunday night in Minnesota. He was talking about our defense and specifically Xavier Watts and these guys. I just want you to hear what he said and his assessment of what he's watching.
The first thing that really impressed me about the Falcons coach is when you watch him on a defensive side of the ball, they look different. They look a lot more athletic. They look fast. And I tell you, man, this kid, Xavier Watts from Notre Dame, I had him as my top safety coming out. And he looks fabulous. He looks like a faster Justin Simmons. These two safeties are really fast, athletic. He's aggressive. I didn't know he played the ball so aggressively like that, Jack. But I like what I see from the Falcons from a defensive standpoint, Coach.
Well, my name is Mike, and that's Carl. But thank you, man. No, in all seriousness, that was an earlier piece of audio. But we were talking about we love Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts at camp. And now we're seeing more because Watts did miss a few days when we were there. But Watts, he looks the part. So now complimentary football. James Pierce Jr., Jalen Walker, Arnold Ebiketie, Leonard Floyd. Can I say it? Do your effing job. Let's help those guys out on the back. Now, I know that Dave Archer came on the show Tuesday, Carl, and talked about, you know, the win rate or the pass rush win rate, the finish rate.
Yes.
I mean, but we've got to just get those guys. Please, don't let Archer come in here and punch you in the head, Coach. But
the coach that's been here all afternoon with us, and thank you, by the way, for hanging out with us. Every time we've said pressure rate or win rate, he gives us that stank face, like, you guys continue to talk about this.
Right.
Sorry, Coach. That's what they do.
But we had so much hype on Pierce Jr. Look, we're just telling you what we saw at camp. He was a really exciting player, and you noticed his athleticism and the things he was doing. And, again, it's just week one. But when guys say it's just week one, you know who can say it's just week one? The Chiefs can say it's just week one. The Eagles can lose ugly to the Cowboys and say it's just week one. When you haven't been to the playoffs since 2017, you can't say it's just week one.
I agree with you.
And that's why we're as hard on these guys as we've been.
No. Look, we have a small room for error, right? The margin for error for us because we are not that dominant team yet. They could turn into that. They could become that, but because we haven't been that, you can't just look at this and like, oh, we'll bounce back. Mike's right. These teams that have a winning tradition, they have they're winning organizations.
Right.
They're playing for Super Bowls, and they're in the playoffs and deep every year. That's a different conversation than where we've been. So, yeah, we need perfection. And when I say that, you got to play your best every week in, week out.
And we don't mean like Morris Day and
Correct.
Purple Rain.
Correct.
That is a good advantage or good vantage point. No, I just – we felt this game slip away. We were talking to a couple of our Falcon fans, or Dukes and Bell listeners, and guys, it's the same thing every year. That's why I hate to slip into that Atlanta-itis thing. That's why it drove me crazy, Carl, when we were leaving the stadium on Sunday to hear all those things which always come up, because the team tees you up for it when you finish a game in that fashion.
Right.
And that's why, I mean, okay, this time the kicker cost us a game. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Penix Jr. is out there putting his butt on the line. I mean, extending, you know, literally like Mike Vick to elevate to score the touchdown. You know, you got Drake London's playing with one arm as long as he could. And then you got a friggin' kicker who can't get the job done to extend the game. You know, by the way, I think if we get to overtime, I like Pitts. I love the way Pitts kind of emerged as a playmaker, especially on that last drive. I hope that Zach Robinson makes it an emphasis point, not to overdo it, but let's see that Pitts is open. Hopefully Pitts does get open against Minnesota.
Well, Mike, we
let's
talked
have
about
some
JJ.
Asses wiggling. I want some perfection.
That's Morris Day, by the way. We talked about JJ McCarthy getting confidence. maybe Pitts got the confidence he needed in the at the end of that game.
And our QBs had him since day one.
Yes, going into to Sunday night. And I say that, again, one of our listeners just asked us, he said, how do you feel about Sunday? And I said, I need Darnell and I really need Drake. I mean, to just being honest with you, like, it's a different game. If we roll out there Sunday night and you know, Rodney and the crew are like, yeah, Falcons, Vikings, and they don't have their two wide receivers, different feeling. Give me Darnell and give me Drake, and I feel really good about this opportunity. So, guys, I don't think we're going to get embarrassed. Hell, we didn't get embarrassed last year. We embarrassed ourselves with the miscommunications in the secondary,
right,
and giving up big plays.
Remember,
but I don't think that's going to happen this year. My different guy is running this defense.
We were in this game. If you guys, you got to go back and look at the first half. We had a critical fourth down play, and Coach Morris was very aggressive last year. He was aggressive in this game, and then he decided, no, we're going to punt. And it came back to bite us.
That's right.
They would go back to the field on us. I want to see consistency. You know, I mean, say what you want about Ron Rivera. You know what you got. If you're going to be aggressive, that's your template, right? I'm always going for it. I'm going to be aggressive. I want to see him live by that. That to
we did, though.
But we did. No, we didn't go for it in fourth down last year against Minnesota, which drove me crazy
last year
going back to that game. And then, of course, the secondary fell apart under Jimmy Lake's tutelage or whatever that was. So this is a game where, man, edge rush. Complimentary football. But the one thing, guys, again, at the bar we're asking is the run game. Can you get it on track? Minnesota, are they going to run blitz us? Or are they just going to use their down lineman to just stand? Look at Elijah Wilkinson and expect the Falcons to probably not really run on that side.
Look, I would dare them, and I think Brian Flores knows this. Go ahead and play a zone if you want to. Michael will eat a zone up.
Now,
go ahead and play a zone.
Drake London's got to be. Imagine if Mooney's healthy for that.
Well, that's the key. If you don't have your starting receivers, it's a different animal. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live and coming, guys. Been out here all day. Great time. We love coming out here. And tomorrow we're looking forward to our trip up there, Twin Peaks and Chattanooga, as we get ready for the Dogs and the Vols. But, Mike, that's the thing. I don't think Ryan Flores is watching this and going, there's no way in hell I'm playing zone and letting Michael Penix sit back there.
Right.
And eat us up. We got to pressure him into throws. Tampa attempted to do this, right? But, look, I had a chance to watch some of these key plays now. Guys, the kid stood in there. Tough.
He never had a pristine pocket. That's why when guys, you asked the question, can we go vertical in Minnesota? He did not have three Mississippis against the Bucs. He didn't have two. I mean, they were coming after him. The pristine pocket did not exist. There was one or two plays, and that's why I hate the pistol, because I don't think the play action fools anybody out of the pistol. When you drop back under center, that's when you can get – but with Vita Vea, I know he was kind of like the force multiplier.
Yeah.
And you said it yesterday, and you heard Zach Robinson, that's their profile. They're not coming off the pistol.
Well, look,
I don't like it, but that's their style.
Mike, that works. Those fakes work if you are effectively running the ball, but you cannot do that when you're not running the ball.
Right.
We got some big questions.
I mean, read option comes from generally. You can do read option from the shotgun.
Of course.
You know, FSU did it against Alabama.
Of course.
But you've got to, you know, but that's got to, it starts with the run game.
Well, and like in that particular game, the Florida State quarterback is putting pressure on Alabama too. So now I got to defend
with
him.
His mobility, right?
Yeah, that's a whole nother animal. I don't think they're trying to do that with Mike. Mike only ran last week. Penix only ran because he had to.
Are you cool in short yardage with him in a quarterback sneak? Are you worried? I mean,
did we see one last week? We did not, right?
Everything was sort of outside, or it was not him on short yardage.
Yes. Look, if we feel comfortable with the push we're going to get up front, the problem is, to your point about Vita Vea, who are you playing?
Right.
If we're playing Chris Jones, right? I'm not running a quarterback. There were certain guys. If we're playing the Eagles and big boys are out there, I'm not running a quarterback sneak.
Right. But this goes back to the big picture and bringing it back to, you know, we saw
Jalen Carter.
Bijan had that amazing run. You know, that run after the catch. And you and I talked about it. I mean, why do offensive coordinators sometimes forget what just worked?
Well, look.
I mean, I know there's a rhythm to the game. Sometimes it was never established if that was designed or a check down. But my point is, if the pass rush is so much, or the rush, whatever the pass line or the run line scrimmage is going to be in Minnesota, if you can't match up man for man, especially with Elijah Wilkinson on the right side, get the ball out quick to Bijan.
Yeah.
You and I both think, and I think most Falcon fans listening feel, Bijan's going to beat a guy one-on-one 9 times out of 10.
He is.
So let's roll with that.
Look, the offensive line's got to play better. Again, not picking on Elijah. I thought he was okay, but nobody was great last week. That's going to be a big factor. We're going to break down more of this game tomorrow as we head up to Chattanooga. Guys, want to give a big shout-out to everybody that came out today.
Hey, give yourself a round of applause,
thank you guys,
Barr.
Thank you, guys. for coming out and hanging out with Dukes and Bell. We love you. Without you, there would be no us. Turtle coming up tonight, by the way, Big O. Is he? He's coming up. He is. 6 o'clock, full
hey,
show.
Hey, it's Turtle.
So stay tuned for that. And oh, that's right. We got Thursday Night Football. Thank you. That's right. We got Packers. I'm on the Packers, by the way.
You all right, you know what?
You put me down.
I don't want to leave you on an island today.
You going Packers?
I'm going to go over. The over-under right now is at 48.5. I'm going to take it over.
That's a really – okay. I don't know about that. That's a tough one. But you know what? If it's high scoring, great. I just need him to score. I need him to cover the 3.5.
I'm
on the
saying,
Packers.
48.5.
For the picks.
A 27-24, and you don't cover your spread.
Won't you be quiet? Man, let's get out of here, Big O, and clear our throat.
Put me down. Over.
Thanks to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation for stopping by. Also, we had a great conversation with our man, Bryant McFadden.
And by the way, why are you lecturing me? You're 0-6.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You're 0-6 at the picks.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Day-Day, real quick.
What are you talking about?
Our producer, Day-Day?
There it is.
You're saying this now after last year. Who won this last year?
Who built this thing?
Who won me. This last
who
year?
Who built this thing? Me.
Who won it? Just say it
to me.
Say
it to me.
Say it to me. Thank you. I won this last year. Put some respect on my name. I'm coming back tonight.
You're the Phoenix rising from the ashes.
All right, man. Big shout out to Brian McFadden, by the way. Okay, all right.
By the way, over-under on a Thursday night game could go either way. If the defense is more banged up than the offense, you get it. If the offense is banged up, it's going to be ugly for me, to Carl's point. That's why Carl made the face when I said the open.
Thanks to Barbara Dooley as well. If you missed Barbara, she was unbelievable.
By the way,
always.
We missed Barbara's birthday, and I apologize because one of our listeners said, how old is Barbara? Never ask a lady how old she
don't
is.
Don't do it.
But we did find that Barbara is 86.
I don't believe
and
it.
And consistently bringing amazing, passionate radio to us that everybody loves. And one guy said on Twitter today, if she ever goes off the show, I'm stopping listening. Well, please don't do that.
Yeah.
But isn't Barbara the best?
She is, and that's why she's here. All right, guys, tomorrow we'll talk to you. We'll see you up there. If you're heading that way, getting ready for the dogs, we will see you in Chattanooga. Big shout-out to Day-Day and, of course, Gordon, our on-site engineer, and Obeck at the studio. Stay tuned. Turtle is coming up. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. So I got to meet a listener today who I argue with all the time on social media, generally about the Braves. And he's an old-school guy. And he's conservative by nature, and that's okay because there's a place for people to have different opinions. Well, there used to be in America about sports and everything else. I just feel with the Braves, if you're not trying to maximize the talent and you're trying to go for the jugular and try to spend for the sense of spending, comparable pitching to what the teams in your division are doing, whether it's the Phillies this year or most years the Mets. Let's spend some money. If Brian Snicker's coming back, let's stack the deck in his favor. Otherwise, I don't want to see Brian Snicker back. I want to see a new approach. I want to go completely outside the organization. Because, guys, last time I checked, it's 4 years since we won a World Series. 2023 means nothing to me unless you're a stat nerd. I don't care how good we were, Carl, at OPS, home runs, and slugging. You didn't win anything. You get beat in the first round. Let's go get a new approach, and let's maximize Ronald Acuna's best remaining years.
Can't believe you want to just kick Grandpa to the curb. Hey, man, Falcons brought in six. Count them. Six kickers on Tuesday.
Six?
Six. All battling for a chance to be on this team. Parker Romo won the job. Parker Romo spoke to the media today. Had nothing but great things to say. Here's my thought. If you don't trust Koo, he shouldn't be on the plane heading to Minnesota.
Ooh.
Go with the guy and give him a chance, and let's see what Parker Romo has. It cannot be any worse than it's been going back to last season. We will see what the decision is from the Falcons as we head towards the weekend. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you are that jerk that stole Koo's car and wrecked it for everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.